Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Retrofitting and sustainability are the future of construction. Visit sullis.ie/greenskills to find your course.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
Now, Ukraine says it's planning to beef up security measures on the border with Belarus amid fears that Russia is planning new assaults from there. There has been heavy bombardment of the Ukrainian capital city, Kyiv, in recent days as Moscow launched a kamikaze drone attack hitting key infrastructure in and around the capital. With analysis on all of this, I'm joined on the line by Professor Scott Lucas, professor at UCD's Clinton Institute. Scott, thank you very much for joining us. So Vladimir Putin visited Belarus yesterday. How significant was that visit, do you think?
It was significant from a public perspective in that Putin was trying to show that despite the losses on the battlefield in Ukraine, and indeed even Ukrainian attacks inside Russia now on Russian bases, that he's still firmly in charge. So he went to Belarus, one of his few allies during his invasion, to appear with its leader, Alexander Lukashenko. Very little was said at the press conference about the Ukraine war. The journalists who were carefully picked, the ones who got to ask questions, didn't even refer to that topic. It actually was more significant on another front, if you give me just a second, Claire, and that is there's tension between Belarus and Russia. The Russians would really like Belarus to put their own ground forces and air forces into Ukraine, because the Russians are struggling now and they need some help. Lukashenko is trying to prevent that. He doesn't want to get militarily involved directly, even if he'll host the Russian forces that are carrying out attacks, including these aerial attacks that you just talked about, missile attacks. And so what Putin had to say yesterday is, oh, no, I'm not trying to absorb Belarus. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, after Lukashenko very pointedly reaffirmed that country's independence and territorial sovereignty. In other words, you can't force us to go into this war to bail you out.
And Lukashenko gave no indication yesterday as to how he would view any request to commit troops to fighting in Ukraine.
Absolutely. And I think this has been going on actually for months. You know, the Russians have been asking Belarus to do more, to step it up, and Lukashenko has been carefully maneuvering. He can't out and out deny Putin. He can't snub him in public. Part of the reason for the visit. But what he can do is play for time and to keep playing for time, which is to say, I need the troops in Belarus because NATO might attack us. I can't commit them to Ukraine.
And these drone attacks then on the capital city, on Kyiv, what's the aim there? Because my understanding is, from what I've read, is that Ukraine has been able to stop a lot of those drone attacks as they're coming in. I think in one day there were 23 launched and 18 were prevented from doing any harm. So what is Russia at?
Well, this is the ongoing Russian campaign that escalated since October 10th. We've had, I think, 9 or 10 waves of missile and drone strikes, which really have two objectives. One is to knock out Ukraine's energy infrastructure, to try to freeze the country into submission, cut off water, cut off electricity. And the other is just to break civilian will to keep resisting. But the attacks are having diminishing effect. The latest attack you're referring to, which was day before yesterday, 30 of 35 Iranian-made drones were shot down. Five did get through. One apparently hit a power installation in Kyiv, but they were able to restore electricity to most people in the city within 24 hours. So in other words, Ukraine is still battered. It still has a very fragile electricity grid, but it's not breaking, either in terms of being able to provide some energy and also in terms of civilian will.
And what is likely to happen over the remainder of the winter? War in winter is very difficult. There were some who claimed that Russia would make some attempt to suggest that they might be willing to have talks or have some sort of a ceasefire, for want of a better word, over these difficult months. But Ukraine is saying that they're bracing for further attacks.
Well, first, let's kick the idea that there's going to be negotiations to the curb because of one man, Vladimir Putin. There's a very good New York Times investigation this past weekend based on talks with Putin's insiders, which said, look, he's committed to this. You know, it's either going to wind up in total capitulation and defeat, or he's just going to keep going and going and going because he wants to conquer the country. And he doesn't want to admit that he's failed. In terms of whether, however, Russia can advance on the ground, right now, they're not. They've spent months trying to take one city with about only 12,000 civilians left in the east of the country, and they still can't take it. This is called Bakhmut in the Donetsk region. So I don't think Russia can take more territory. It's rather Ukraine over the winter will pursue another offensive like we saw in the autumn, where they took territory in the east, Kharkiv region, and where they took Kherson region in the south.
All right, and I see just as we're speaking, Scott, that the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has visited that city of Bakhmut. He has been handing out awards to soldiers, and that, as you say, is the scene of some of the heaviest fighting in eastern Ukraine in recent weeks. Scott, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you very much once again for joining us. That's Professor Scott Lucas from UCD's Clinton Institute. Now, it's just coming up to 11 o'clock. Let's go to the newsroom and to Brian Jennings.